Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Okay, we're talking about AMP, Atlanta Motorsports Park, that's located in Dawsonville. And Jeremy, you are really thinking about starting a program for minivans. Why?
Moms and minivans. Well, really, it's based on moms are so busy and they have so many kids and so many things going on in the vehicle. We just want to be able to teach them to drive better in those vehicles and be able to drive in all sorts of conditions. And it really comes from, really, it's not just moms and minivans. It's all people in all sorts of vehicles, SUVs, whatever else have you. And we have such a strange phenomenon that happens here when it rains, when it snows, when the ice comes.
Everybody drives horribly.
Yeah, they lose all their wits. So basically, what we want to do is get them on our ice hill and skid pad, which simulates hydroplaning, snow, and ice. And teach them how to dynamically control the vehicle during those situations and become better drivers so they don't get into situations. And hopefully this will snowball and we'll be able to
make
a difference. Yeah, that's no pun intended.
So, Bobby, you know, we talk about what you do in your training, and the stunt driving school, of course, is one of the main things that you do. But I think it's important for people to know that you have worked with government agencies. Now, how have you trained, or who, I know you can't name names, but what has been the result of your training, the good results for government agencies?
You know, we get a lot of appreciative emails that are sent. The ones I like the best is how they put capital letters there and just thank you. It means more to me than anything. When we train a team and then they're deployed and something happens, and they don't ever tell us the whole thing, but they give us enough information to say that, hey, this maneuver worked, it got us out of a bad situation, or we was able to do something to another vehicle. It means an awful lot. But again, it's going back to basic driving and then learning how to get the car to do things for you.
You mentioned, and we're not going to say who the person was, but you can at least tell us that in one case, a team was able to...
It was the U.S. Marshals. They delivered Saddam Hussein to court every day until, of course, they didn't have to take him to court anymore. They were attacked. We trained that particular team. They were attacked 17 times. There's a lot more that happened. They never lost one of their people, and they didn't lose Saddam. They was able to get him to the rope on time, as they say. So it worked out pretty well.
See, that's the thing about it, folks. When we talk about driving and what Bobby does, it's not just about the movies. It's about saving people's lives. And it's the same way at AMP. It's about helping you become a better driver. Now, why in the world did you do this all the way in Dawsonville, Jeremy?
It was bad pizza.
Bad pizza? Come on.
No, you know, I looked at land all around Atlanta, and this seemed to make the most sense. It was up the 400 corridor. A lot of money is incoming. Roswell, Alpharetta, Dunwoody, Buckhead, Atlanta. And it made sense. And then also, the City Hall is also the Racing Hall of Fame. It was within the city limits, and the property was purchased from the Elliots, and it just all worked, because racetracks or motorsports country clubs are just not a welcome entity in any cities or states.
Why is that?
They look at them as noisy, traffic, you know, all the different things that people associate with racetracks. So what we tried to do is I addressed the noise by limiting the noise from the vehicles on the site. We lowered the track into the ground and did a lot of things to mitigate noise. And then we're not a track that has a tremendous amount of traffic because we're more on the country club side of things. Our concession go-karts that anybody can come drive, you know, the public concession go-karts, is that's the most traffic unless we have a big race there. And then so it's not very often.
And I notice you also do corporate events.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, if you want to come with 10 people or 100 people, we can do something for you in go-karts, race cars, supercars, the stunt school, the AMP Driving Academy as well.
So the AMP Driving Academy helps you do what?
Basically, it's car control. It's a half or full day program in our BMWs. And we put you behind the wheel of the vehicle. We put you on the ice hill. We put you on the skid pad. We put you on the racetrack. We do braking exercises and things like that. So it's a heck of a lot of fun, and people leave better drivers, But the byproduct is they speak about this for a long time. It bonds the team, and it's something different or unique. It's not hunting, fishing, golfing, all the same stuff that a lot of people have done over and over.
Now, have you ridden? I know you've ridden with him at, several times, Bobby Orr. How badly did he scare you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that question. Is peeing in my pants part of it? Or, you know?
But I think Bobby enjoys the driving aspect more than I know you enjoy the teaching. But yeah. You really love to drive, Bobby.
I do. And it's you know, with what we teach, if it was hard, I couldn't do it. I had to find a way to make the car, have the car make me look good. As far as the driving, and it's that old saying, less is more. Well, we proved that steering's less, everything's less, the less action going on inside the car, the more control you have, the more accurate you can be. And I did want to throw in something here about AMP. You know, they when they called us about coming up there, and the couple of times we've been there, the entire staff seems to go out of their way to make everyone feel welcome, find out what it is, you know, whatever you want to try and go, and how they can help. I'm not really good at giving compliments, but I will say that about him and Jan and everybody else there. But at the same time, you know, it's just my people too, Robert and Amy and Cheeks and all of them that come up to help teach. They all have stunt backgrounds. They've been helping in our school for years, so they know what they're doing too.
What's, I don't know, I'll just ask it. What has this cost you in terms of your physical health? Have you been injured before?
Can we talk about anything else?
Okay. We don't want to talk about that.
No, it has. You know, you make mistakes and accidents happen. But it's also a learning process that hopefully keeps somebody else from making that same mistake. But, yeah, it's I've had injuries.
You know, your wife Rosalind's not in here now, so I can talk about her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she said we couldn't
smiling.
Talk about her.
She thinks everything's okay.
But she was saying that you actually had her riding on top of a car.
Yes, ma'am.
She's a stunt driver, too.
she's gone through the school several times. Used
the
to drive quite a bit.
Maybe.
But there was a... She worked at an office supply company in England, and I thought she was sort of cute. So anyway, I said, "Yeah, you want to sit on top of my car Wednesday?" And she showed up, and then we've been together ever since. Just show you how dumb she really is.
You're in trouble.
No, she's out there.
But the interesting thing is that she actually stayed on top of the car with you making all these crazy turns.
With no seat belts or straps of any kind. It was a T-top. We had several American vehicles over there. The two that we used in these shows were a Camaro and a Trans Am. She could lock her legs around that T-top and a hand on either side behind the where the glass go on the top.
Hold on to your hair.
And yeah, she'd kick me and tell me which way I needed to go. Yeah, so she did great. The only time that she messed up is that did all these spins and turns. She was up there and was at a place called Chobham, and I told her to get in the car. So she just got down in the car. But she and I was going to go ahead and finish my little big 360s there. The door wasn't locked. And back then, the dashes weren't like they used to be. It was all plastic. The door came open. She starts sliding out. Somehow, she was able to, like suction cups on that dash. How she was able to keep going all the way out, I don't know.
That was nothing but a blessing.
Her hair was about 3 inches from the back tire. So I quickly turned the car to go the other way and sort of threw her back in the car.
Wow. That's quite something.
And then she wanted to get paid for it. Can you believe that?
Well, she married you. She's been paying for it ever since.
Hey, now, someday when you have time, we'll find out why she's paying for it the rest of her life. But she ripped me off from that office supply store.
You're listening to Kiss 104, and if you're caller number 14, I'm going to give you tickets to the 10th annual Mother's Day Weekend Comedy Explosion with Arnaz J., Tony Roberts, and Earthquake. Give me a call at 404-741-0104, and you're going to have a wonderful time the Mother's Day weekend. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Well, today we have been talking cars. And for those of you who've been saying, oh, I really want to blow this out, but I can't do it on 285. And, you know, we're at that time of the year where it's a nice drive to Dawsonville, and you can go to the Outlet Mall on your way or on your way back. So we want you to go up to AMP. I had a wonderful time. John and I, my husband and I, went up there and took the short day trip with Bobby Orr. And I'm telling you, stunt driving is amazing because it does make you a better driver. Now, I didn't do much of everything, but John did, and he really did enjoy it. So, Bobby, you know, as much as we talk about stunt driving, this is really about being a better driver.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, it's a... There's key factors that you would take and use every day. That didn't mean you're going to go out and spin your car on the road or... just to show off, anything like that, but like the steering and the focal point, if you use that, it helps the rest of it all come together. And again, we want to simplify, you know, what we do and break a lot of the old myths about driving.
So what is a myth about driving that we all carry with us?
The one that I get the most that people tell me about is when they took driver's ed or whatever in high school, that if the car goes into skid, to turn in the direction of the skid.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. Did you ever get in a skid?
No.
Oh, well, then that's good. Most people say they did all that and it didn't work for them. And yet, you know, like at a racetrack or whatever, you're on the edge anyway. You have high expectations that it may go into the skid. So you're sort of ready for it. But you're not ready for it if two cars change lanes at the same time, hit each other like a pit maneuver, and all of a sudden your car is in a spin. It doesn't work too well. Usually you're behind the eight ball trying to turn into the direction of the skid on a real situation. But it's real easy to do a dog and pony show, like drifting, and you go out there and get the car started, and you're turning the direction of the skid. That's where you want the car to go. That's probably the biggest one.
What's another?
ABS braking.
Ah.
Yeah. You ask a class, what is ABS? And invariably, every class will have someone that will say, automatic braking system. So you just think, stop, and it will. Yeah, I'll just do it for you. They have no idea about anti-lock braking system or how it worked. Most people blame it for the fact that they couldn't stop or they couldn't do something versus actually understanding how the system works. So, and I've got to blame the driver on most of that. They don't take the time to reach in that glove box and that dust-covered thing that's covered and it says owner's manual. It explains an awful lot of things.
And that's it. I have to admit, I haven't read an owner's manual since I bought my Porsche over 35 years ago. You know, none of the other cars did I read the owner's manual.
Yeah, that way, I mean, if I ask you, how far has your airbag come out?
I have no idea.
Wouldn't that be something you should know?
I should know.
Yeah. And know how to sit in your car.
That was the other thing. When you told me how to sit in the car, I'm going, what do you mean? Explain it to the listeners.
All right, a lot of people think when they sit straight up in a car, they're sitting straight up. They're actually not. You get the back of the seat, go straight up, you're leaning forward. So in doing some of the stuff that we do with the handbrake and the spins and turns, it takes away some of that leverage that you cannot have enough strength to lock it up. So I always like to have the seat back one or two clicks, and then I'm fairly straight up. I'm not leaning forward in the cockpit.
So how do you do that in the car? You sit up straight first and then?
You can sit up straight, and then, of course, you got the lever on the side, and just take the back of the seat back one or two clicks where you feel like you're straight, but you're back a little bit, rather than being bent over at the waist going forward.
You have a lot of tricks of the trade.
Over the years, picked them up, yeah.
Now, I also understand you're a pilot.
Started flying when I was 12 years old. The two things were cars and airplane. I worked as a line boy, and I'd trade whatever time I had towards flying lessons. So when I went to get my pilot's license at 16, I had 400 hours in.
Already?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy. AMP, why did you start the company?
Well, I'd been racing off and on for about 17 years and just wanted a place to be able to go and to be able to get access to a racetrack. Because the challenge is if you do race or you're involved in that, is being able to get on a facility. It's very, very expensive. And they're usually pretty booked out. Plus, you know, it's based on their schedule versus your schedule. And I just wanted a place that we could all hang out and talk about how fast we are, were, or gonna be. And bench race as it is. You know, most of the time people are in the pits and just talking about the racing line and their last lap and just chit-chatting more than they are actually on the track. So we like to say that we're more of a social club. And, oh, by the way, we have a road course. And, you know, I can't emphasize this enough, is 78% of our members have never been on a track. They're just somebody that owns a sports car and wants a place to drive it fast and legal, or a bike or a go-kart. It's all on the same world.
And that was the other thing, motorcycles, because we have said nothing about those. Can we use the same track?
Yeah, we run the bikes in a separate run group, so it's the cars, then it's the bikes. And if the bikes leave, then we take them out of the run group, or if it's just bikes all that day, you know, we have bikes there as well. So we've got a racing school or a riding school, Nate Kern Track Days, and he actually teaches once a month on Mondays people how to ride these bikes. These bikes are so fast out of the box. I mean, in my opinion, they really shouldn't be allowed out on the street without some sort of training, because they are just deadly. And, you know, we have a saying, with age, get a cage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you get older, you have to have a cage to be around you, because, you know, the bangs and the bruises and things like that are a lot more painful, take a lot longer to heal from.
Well, I would hope that what I sometimes see on I-20 and I-85, people who are on crotch rockets on one wheel in the air, scares me to death. I mean, this, your place, if you want to do something like that, that's the place to do it, and
yeah,
not
absolutely
on city streets.
And we reel them in. I mean, if they get on one wheel off, and we'll black flag them, pull them off the racetrack and say, come in, let's talk about it. Because, you know, it's fun, it's spectacular, it's interesting to do, but you don't have as much control of the bike unless you're an advanced rider, and you can lean, you know, left or right and control the bike when it's on one wheel, because you lose all that front steering.
So, last words from both of you about what you do, why you do it, and why those of us who are novices should come see you.
Bobby?
To be honest, really get a lot of enjoyment when you see a student's eyes light up and they got it and they passed the test and all that. And you know they have it. It's something that... We've had people that took the class 10 years earlier and come out, and if they're there, I'll throw them a set of keys and see what they still remember, and they'll go out and they still have it. So, you know, it speaks a lot about the simplicity of it and them sticking with it and using some of it every day on the shuffle steering and, you know, with focal point and all that. Absolutely love the teaching aspect. You get to show off a little bit, but at the same time, any school... we're the oldest stunt driving school out there, but mostly challenges. You know, if anybody can take our class too, they can come out and take the class and then challenge the instructors. A lot of times you get an instructor, they talk a real good story in a classroom or something like that. And then when they get out to demonstrate what they're going to do, they're not doing exactly what they said in the classroom. We like to be challenged, you know. Why does it work that way? How can I get it to work that way? What can you do to help us? And we do everything we can to help that student. So we'll bend over backwards to make sure they get it.
Well, you know, every time I see that commercial on television now with the car doing the spin into the parking space, I think of you.
Okay. Even though that wasn't me, probably, but yeah.
Yeah, I think of you.
It's one of his students.
Absolutely. And Jeremy?
You know, we just like for people to come and have a good time in their cars and to leave transformed. I mean, people show up stressed out. They show up with the day or week or month on them, so to speak. And they really leave different people, a lot less stressed, and just enjoy themselves and sharpen the saw, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, so. I can tell you, you cannot ride on that course and be thinking about something else.
True.
Thank you both for being here. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I will put all the information about both schools on the KISS 104 Facebook page. And I will also let you know that by Tuesday, we'll have the podcast of the show up, so you can hear hear everything that we discussed in the last 3 hours. So that's it for us. But before I leave, you got a couple of things to remind you. Deborah Reese is coming up next. And then what Mama Hattie always says, it's what you do with what you have that makes you what you are. Don't make excuses. Make work. See you next Sunday. Bye-bye.